Studying the subject of est, we are going into a vast area which involves a whole group of cultic and occultic phenomena available today. If you look about us on every side, you will see various so-called mind-manipulating groups. You will see supposedly therapeutically oriented mind groups. And you will see people who have an instant solution for virtually every problem that hits the average person in daily life. We had Norman Vincent Peale tell us of the power of positive thinking, and there were many things in Norman Vincent Peale's writings which were good and thoroughly based upon Scripture. The problem was they were set forth in such a way that people who read it believed that they could apply it to themselves without acknowledging the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then the principles didn't work because one must know Christ before one is able to have a relationship of communication with Christ. Then we have had psycho-cybernetics in recent years, Dr. Maxwell Maltz's concepts of how the mind can be altered and how the personality can be changed. We have seen in Sun Myung Moon's unification cult how people have been subjected to various forms of stimuli, and then how they have responded and had alterations in personality. We have seen silver mind control and a whole group of things of this ilk, telling us that there can be transformation, not only mental, but spiritual, by following the principles which they have set forth. And now, we are faced with Werner Erhard's EST, which means Erhard Seminars Training. What we're going to do is a view of EST, its history, its impact, its theological structure, and how the Christian can come to grips with it. Before we do this, I'd like to read just a verse of Scripture which I think bears on the subject of EST, but I don't think the people who practiced EST would agree with me. But let's just look at it anyhow. If you have your Bibles, turn with it. How many have your Bibles? Good. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And here you will find the Apostle Paul giving us some important guidelines. Listen to him. He's talking about the subject of communicating the gospel, the good news of God. And he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing," verse 18, "foolishness, but unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will ruin the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the arguer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom did not know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 23. We are preaching Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto those which have been called Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God. Let's clearly understand as we approach EST that we are not approaching it with some ethereal concept of total objectivity, because nobody can be totally objective. Everybody has basic presuppositions in their thinking processes. If you have a theory of knowledge, or to use a 50-cent word, an epistemological structure, you have basic, very basic presuppositions. I'm not going to apologize as a Christian theologian or philosopher or apologist for my presuppositions. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. I believe there is criteria for judging other things. And I'm not going to be so foolish as to say, well, let's now approach this totally objectively. This kind of nonsense will get us no place, because Christ never came totally objectively. He came with one defined fiat statement. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus said, all that came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. Now, Christ had a point of view, I think we would say, and Christ also enunciated his identity. He said to the Jews who wouldn't accept him, I tell you, before Abraham sprang to existence, I am the eternal God. John chapter 8, verse 58. He was clearly making reference to his identity as God in human flesh. So when we approach Est, we approach it in the context of biblical Christianity. We approach it in the context of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the church and the apostles. And we approach it from the perspective that all that purports to be truth must be tested by that which God says is truth. And that is the only way that we can ascertain final truth. Because if we compare experience to experience, we are on a shifting platform of human sand, human mind and logic, and we will never, ever arrive at truth. We will go round and round, as the apostle warns us, never arriving, ever learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. I draw to your attention also another important point as we analyze Est. That is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Beware lest anybody ruin you, or spoil you, the Greek word says, through philosophy, the love of human wisdom, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ, for in him dwells all the fullness of God. So we're dealing with what God has to say, in contrast to what Est teaches, and what Werner Erhard has to say. So to get a proper perspective on the whole thing, let's go into a capsule, if we can, of the history of Est, one of the most rapidly growing cultic phenomena of our day, and then into its basic theology structure, as best as we can ascertain it in the time we have, and then to what the Bible has to say on these important things. If you follow the references in your Bible, if you listen carefully, if you play the tape over and over again, you'll be able to absorb this data and be able to witness to people who think that Est is the solution to all of their problems. Now, what we are dealing with is the philosophy and the psychological interpretations of one man. And that man's name is Werner Erhard. Actually, Werner Erhard's name is John Paul Rosenberg. He was born in Philadelphia, September 5th, 1935. And his mother was an Episcopalian, and his father, a Jew who converted to Episcopalianism. He began to get tremendously interested in mental discipline and in religion in his early years, and sort of wandered around, bouncing from one religious group to the other, absorbing information from each of these. He studied and or taught, at one time or another, such diverse things as occult, Eastern and Western philosophies, Dale Carnegie's course, Scientology, mind dynamics, and Zen Buddhism. In fact, he characterizes himself as, quote, a discipline freak, close quote. He still makes trips to the Far East in order to bathe once again in the philosophy of Zen Buddhism. He had as his mentors, philosophically, Friedrich Nietzsche. Nietzsche influenced Adolf Hitler and has influenced a whole host of skeptics, atheists, and agnostics. And he looks up to Nietzsche. Nietzsche's basic dictum was that God is dead. He was influenced by Dr. Leo Zeff, an LSD researcher, who was on the advisory board of Est, and who led Werner Erhard into Scientology. Where did he ever get the name Werner Erhard from? Why did he change it from Rosenberg? Well, he admired Werner von Braun, the late great rocket expert, so he took his first name. And he took his name, Werner, from Werner Heisenberg, a German physicist, and from Ludwig Erhard, a former German chancellor. He welded together, therefore, science, physics, and economics, and chose this as his course of activity to influence the lives of others. He has had indoctrination in hypnosis, subud, Rogerian non-directive counseling, that's a form of attempt to counsel people and to give them direction, but of course he himself has no degrees in the field and no training to justify it. Yoga, silver mind control, psycho-cybernetics, transpersonal psychology, gestalt psychology, encounter therapy. It's obvious that Mr. Erhard is preoccupied with psychology and preoccupied with his own interpretations of it as it will apply to those who follow the system. Now, the statistics on EST are frightening because it has only been in existence since 1971, 6 years of proselytizing, no major advertising, everything by word of mouth. So from ground zero in 1971, EST now has 17 offices in London, Miami, Sacramento, France, and various other places throughout the world. There are a total of 9 trainers taught by Erhard personally over several years. One of these is a woman, and they have the, quote, power, close quote, to get the job done. 7 more are being trained now. EST has 170 paid employees, over 13,000 volunteers, and approximately 120,000 people who have taken the training thus far in only this 6-year period. Only 60 people are said to have, quote, not gotten it, close quote, the first time in EST's history. But 30 of them tried the seminar again and, quote, got it, close quote, and the others say they, quote, got it, close quote, later. Now, we're going to find out what it is as we go along. But I think it's quite interesting that there's a definite parallel to Scientology here and definite parallels to Zen Buddhism and to Hinduism as we move into it. It's positively amazing how many Americans will pay all kinds of money to get Eastern philosophy and amalgamations of all kinds of cultic, occultic, psychiatric, and psychological structures compressed for them in a neat package which none of them understands for a very healthy fee, and then turn around and say, Christianity is too complex. Yet you can take 20 sources, put them all together. That's not complex. Why isn't it complex? Because Erhard says so. And it all comes down to the basic structure of all cultic philosophy. Namely, it's true because the leader says it's true. It's true because the authority comes from him. What are his credentials? Doesn't make any difference. Is he proficient in his field? No. Does he have anything to justify what he says? Certainly not. Then why do people believe him? Because, as Mark Twain points out, the human race delights in pursuing asininity as a career. And we are never tired at putting out money for instant solutions to some of the problems which God says can only be solved by casting oneself totally upon him. Because he, not Werner Erhard, cares for you. Now, since beginning in 1971, it has grossed $3.4 million in 1974, $9.5 million in 1975, and Erhard collects about $50,000 a year in salary. It's reached out and influenced people. Its impact is fantastic. John Denver, the king of mountain music, has written a song, Looking for Space, and dedicated one of his albums to Erhard. Denver calls Erhard, quote, a god, close quote. Valerie Harper of Rhoda, Yoko Ono, John Lennon's wife, George Maharis, Richard Roundtree of Shaft, Joanne Woodward, Jerry Rubin, Roy Scheider of Jaws fame, Cloris Leachman, and the co-chairman of Warner Brothers, the managing editor of Vogue magazine, and a vast assortment of people, including Harvey Korman, late of the Carol Burnett Show, are all talking about what EST has done for them. EST has also made penetrations where we would not normally expect it to do so. University of California, Berkeley Extension, offers 3 units of credit for taking EST seminar with supplemental requirements. Now, some of you are shaking your heads and saying, oh, they couldn't do that. Why should it bother Berkeley? They're the only university in the history of the world ever to grant a degree in magic. As we all know, magic is illusion, and that's exactly what the degree is worth. Nearly 10% of the educators in San Francisco's Unified School District are EST graduates. I wonder who's being influenced by them. One of Erhard's announced goals, and I quote, the real thrust and goal of EST is to put it in education, close quote. That he borrowed from Transcendental Meditation, which is using exactly the same methodology to penetrate our school system. seminars are covering vast cross sections. Police, businessmen, housewives, prison inmates, the clergy. Clergy get 50% off to take an EST seminar. 50% off to indoctrinate the clergy. Well, as we go further into it, more things emerge. Particularly, EST's attempt to reach out politically. This is what most people are not aware of. Some people say, why are you always talking on the cult and the occult? Because nobody else wants to. Why are you always tearing down other people's religions? I'm not. They're tearing down Christianity, and the Church of Jesus Christ is answering them. That's our responsibility. Time and again, people say, you're tearing people down. No, I'm not. They're tearing the church down, and I'm answering, based upon the scripture, what they're saying. If ministers and educators who call themselves Christians were doing what they were supposed to do where these things are concerned, we wouldn't have 84 million people today in the cults and the occult. We would have contained them. We would have evangelized them. And I've got to stand with C.S. Lewis. When a theologian wrote to him, Lewis not being a theologian, but a scholar, and the man said, who are you to correct the theologians? Who are you to make statements about these things? After all, you're a university professor who majored in English. How can you correct the people that you correct? Lewis wrote back and said that he was indeed a layman and proud of it. And if the theologians had done the job right to begin with by preaching Jesus Christ and defending his gospel, it wouldn't be necessary for Lewis to have done anything. But since they didn't, he had to. That was published in a major London newspaper. It's also in the book, God in the Dock, or in the Witness Chair. What Lewis was saying is true. If the clergy won't preach the gospel, if the clergy won't defend the gospel, if the clergy will not adhere to the foundations of the faith, and the theologians will not teach it and preach it, then who is going to do it but laymen who dedicate themselves to the study of the Word of God? As a theologian, I don't put the laymen down. I thank God for them. And I hope God raises up an army of devout, humble Christian laymen who will be faithful to the Word of God, not to some system of philosophy or to some theologian, but faithful to the Word of God. We're not tearing down in the Christian faith when we proclaim the truth of the gospel and we answer our critics and when we take Mr. Earhart to task and his theology. It is they who have attacked the foundations of Christianity. It is necessary for us to respond. Otherwise, our silence will be interpreted by people looking for truth as our willingness to tolerate what EST and other cultic groups maintain is true. We can go even further. I quote their power base activities from a major San Francisco magazine. Quote, EST is making a serious bid to affect basic American institutions, and Werner Erhard's increasing influence has many people concerned. They see an effective, growing organization which has a strong political base. One could cite a recent mailing to EST graduates on voter registration as a first step in mobilizing this political base. Close quote. EST is also influenced by the occult, by Hinduism, by Scientology, and by a Swami who has been officially recommended by Earhart, Swami Mukatananda. Now, I have read of him and his pronouncements. Time magazine did an article upon him in its religion section. He is sold out to Hinduism. He is a polytheist. He does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And he is opposed to basic Christian doctrines and the Judeo-Christian religion on the whole. You are dealing with Hindu pantheism, an attack upon the nature of God. Earhart has absorbed what we call in theology a pantheistic view. We're going to see just how he does that and how people are actually taught to think of themselves as being God. Now, there are three types of seminars, but the major one is the training seminar. You pay $300, 250 people attend, and S profits $5 per person, $75,000 per training seminar into the coffers of the EST organization. As you can see, it has grown tremendously financially. Now, we could go into all the training and what they do with the people. I don't think that really is going to benefit us, because, first of all, it would take a great deal more time and has to be laid out in great detail. But you have a trainer who presents data, and the audience responds to it. There is a process or a technique done by the trainer, and there is sharing or interaction between the trainer and individuals. Est claims that you do the training, that you get in touch with experience. They claim it's not an encounter group, group therapy, or psychotherapy. The purpose of the training is to produce in you aliveness and satisfaction in your life, to transform your experience of living, to bring a heightened experience of aliveness in four areas: love, health, happiness, and self-expression. They constantly use Christian terminology. Earhart is very familiar with it. Be transformed, they say. Start anew, they say. Totally change and become alive, they say. The stress of the training is to get you in touch with experience and in touch with the greatest power in the universe, which is inside you. If that sounds familiar, it is indeed the Hinduism of TM. It is the Hinduism of Vedanta. It is the Hinduism of the Self-Realization Fellowship. It's fanning into bright flame that little flickering spark of divinity that is within all mankind. The true deity is man's recognizing that he is a part of God. Now, what do they really look for in Est? What's the goal of the entire thing? Total transformation. Quote, "We want nothing short of a total transformation, an alteration of substance, not a change in form." Do you get that? An alteration of substance, that's your mind, your soul, not a change in form. The outside goes right on enjoying the things it always enjoyed, but what's going on is a change in you. You are recognizing something. What are you taught to recognize? You are taught to recognize that you, yourself, are the answer to all of your problems. Isn't that fascinating? We have mental institutions filled with people who began with that philosophy. "I can do it myself." Used to be a commercial on television a few years back for Anacin, I believe. I remember because it was a nauseating commercial. It was on until you got sick of just seeing it. But this lady is cooking in her kitchen, and her mother comes over to help her, and she turns on poor old white-haired mama and says, "Oh, please, mother, I'd rather do it myself." That's the psychology that we have today in Est. I would rather do it myself. Well, how are you taught to get yourself straight? Well, the way that you're taught is to go through passivity exercises. And the way you're taught is to be subjected to brutal and cruel physical and mental conditioning and tension and harassment and deliberate foul language. I can't quote the language they use. All I can tell you is it's filthy. But the idea is to break the person down so that they have a conversion episode. The old way of thinking passes away. There are new psychological insights into oneself and the world. To change your theory of knowledge, to change the way you think, to convert you. And there is a conditioning process which they utilize. For instance, an S trainer, this is a direct quotation, "You people are here today because of all your strategies, all of your smart blank theories and notions, and all the rest of that blank haven't worked for you. In this training, you're going to find out that all of you have been acting like blank. And I mean each and every one of you, not just the person sitting on your right or left. In this training, you're going to get a look at where all of your blank cleverness and self-deceptions have gotten you, which is precisely nowhere. And I promise you're not going to like it one bit. We're going to throw away your old belief system. We're going to tear you down and put you back together again. You're all a bunch of turkeys." Imagine paying $300 for that diatribe. "We can do that for you in one psychotherapy session. You know, 15 minutes. You're a turkey." I mean, after all, if you weren't a turkey, if you weren't vulnerable, if you didn't have problems, if you weren't a wreck, why would you go to Earhart? I mean, if everything else has failed you in your thinking, where do you go then? To the cults and the occult. Why not to Christ? But you see, what's happening is your defense mechanisms are being broken down. Your personality structure, which resists criticism, is being broken down. And psychologists and psychiatrists have commented upon this. And I think it's well worthwhile. The corrupt language, I can't use the language here, but the corrupt language is unbelievable. Earhart is profane and vulgar in his vocabulary, and so are those that follow after him in the training sessions. And they abuse you. One of the things you learn in psychological evaluation is that if you are not used to hearing vile language thrown at you and directed at you, if you're not used to being denounced, it actually throws a person back to a vulnerability, into a defensive position. Those defenses are being broken down constantly. You're being assaulted by the person that you're paying. And that person is just tearing you down. Now, it isn't that people don't need help. They do. But God is the creator of the mind, and he does a lot better with our minds than putting them in the hands of a get-rich-quick system, which attempts to supply answers that the Bible says come only from a knowledge of what God has to say. What about using filthy language? Well, the Bible has a lot to say on that subject. In your Bible, look at Ephesians chapter 4, 29 to 31. It tells you there to put aside all filthy language. Ephesians 5, 4, lay aside the filthy language. Colossians 3, 8, put away filthiness, vulgarity. Don't let it come out of your mouth, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God says, don't defile the temple if you're a believer. And if you're not a believer, still filth should not flow out of you, because the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if filth is coming out of your mouth, filth is in your soul, Jesus said. And therefore, we're to be warned about people who claim that they're doing us good by cursing at us. They're not doing you any good. They are just attacking the resources which you possess. And if you're a Christian, you should have nothing to do with est anyhow, because Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is a lot better than Werner Erhard's system for dealing with the soul, because Erhard cannot deal with sin. One of the great passages I'd like to call your attention to is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I think here the Word of God is explicit about how the Christian is supposed to think. A lot of people don't read this passage, but you ought to. To people who are interested in Erhard, God says, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, think on these things, not on profanity, not on Erhard's methodology for breaking down the individual. I think it's also very important for us to recognize that competent psychologists and psychiatrists have already been evaluating the Earhart system. Some of their comments, I think, are well worth noting. We could go into a great deal of time mentioning these particular individuals, but let's just take a very well-known psychiatrist, Dr. Joel Covell. Quote, in some, Est has discovered how to compress and intensify the basic psychotherapeutic maneuver of breaking down defenses. The result for the individual is a state of openness, receptivity, and weakened discrimination. Into the gap steps the Est philosophy embodied in the trainer, and behind him, Werner Erhard. Close quote. What we are dealing with is a breakdown of your defense mechanisms and a substitution of Est when you have reached the end of the road. Now, what kind of people go into Est? Some of you are sitting here and shaking your heads and saying, we could never get interested in that. What kind of people do get interested? They're sensitive people, psychologically or spiritually insecure, and they're searching. I happen to be getting a rubdown in my health club, and the guy who was giving me the massage said to me, I had a fantastic opportunity last week. I said, what is it? He said, I'm going to an Est training seminar. I said, you are. Are you paying $300? He said, yes, it's been offered to me. I'm going. I said, save your $300. I can tell you what you're going to get. He said, what? So I spent 10 minutes giving him a resume of what Est was going to do, particularly its theology. He said, no. I said, yes. He went. 2 weeks later, I said to him, well, Turkey, how do you feel now? He said, I spent $300 to get told what a bum I was. I already knew that. And I said to him, did they tell you how to get your act together spiritually? He said, no, but they told me how to get it together mentally. I said, in other words, you can get it together mentally, but not spiritually. Well, you can get it together spiritually, too. I said, how? By becoming God? He said, have you ever been there? I said, no. Well, as the fellow on the radio said to me the other night when he called in, how can you judge Est's philosophy and psychology if you have never been to a training seminar? I said the same thing to the masseur. I said to the man the other night on the radio. I don't have to take strychnine to know it will kill me. It's killed a lot of other people. Not necessary for me to take it. I know if you take strychnine, it will kill you. I know if you absorb what Erhard says and what the books say and the training says, it will kill you spiritually, absolutely, because it neglects the important area of human sin and a person's relationship to the living God. What is the basic philosophy of Est? This is it. This is it. What is. What ain't, ain't. My, that's profound. $300 worth of profundity. What is, what ain't, ain't. I mean, I could have told you that without spending a dime. But you see, Est uses these little catchphrases, and people, oh, isn't that profound, people say. No, it's not profound, it's just stupid. Any rational human being knows what is, what isn't, isn't. Otherwise, of course, you desperately need psychiatric help. According to Est, what is happening right now is the most important. That's the truth. It's all experience-oriented. So, reality is personal experience. But that is not biblical theology. Biblical theology says reality is what God says it is. Otherwise, you could be experiencing evil, thinking it was good, and be deceived by it. Just because it's an experience. I like the phrase by a Christian theologian who said that there are people today who think that if they have an experience that's real, it must be right. How far from Scripture this is, where we are told by the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles, and by the revelation God has given, general and specific, that man is totally dependent upon God for revelation of truth. Thy word is truth, objective truth, because God says it, not how you feel. What trouble you'll get into, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you receive another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, if you are deceived by an angel of light. That's why the scripture tells you in Galatians chapter 1, if we or an angel out of heaven preaches any other gospel unto you than that which we have proclaimed, count him cursed by God. What you're getting in Est is a great homogenization process, bringing together eclectically all the different sources of cultic and occultic psychology and theology, homogenizing them together in Erhard's pot, brewed by someone who has no knowledge whatsoever in training of the subjects he's discussing, and then ladled out to the waiting faithful in large doses for $300 as a means of teaching you an important lesson. Of course, the most important lesson is that you no longer have the $300. Est, like Zen, produces a type of indifference to reality. I mean, the best way to experience reality is to float over Niagara Falls like a ping pong ball. All the troubles of life will disappear. Zen can say that because Zen doesn't care about individuals and compassion and truth and reality. It cares only about what you or I may think about them personally. The world has no purpose according to Est. It's only the purpose that you and I give it. The Bible says that God orders all things after the counsel of His own will. Solomon says there is a purpose for everything under heaven. And Isaiah chapter 55 quotes the Lord as saying that my word will never return to me void. It will prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. It will accomplish what I purpose. You see, God stands apart from the world as its creator. In Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. They are not part of God. They were created by Him. They are finite. They will be destroyed. But the Lord endures forever. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures. You see, Erhard is a disciple of the gospel of now. If you have it now, if you have personal awareness now and agreement now, that the only reality is what you yourself are going to recognize, you have now arrived, in the words of the Erhard people, at the point of riding the horse in the direction in which the horse is going. Do you know what that means? It's very profound. It means that nothing is going to change. Everything is going to work out just the way it was intended to work out by the individual who purposes it. So you're only riding in the direction of what was originally set up by you. And that's fatalism. The idea that you're just going to go ahead and there is no controlling power beyond you. In Est, everything is inside you. But what does it produce? It produces apathy. It produces relativistic morals. And it produces you as your own God. Since man has chosen his condition, he becomes apathetic, just as the Indians became apathetic in the caste system. Gandhi got rid of the caste system. But if you go back and study it in Hindu philosophy, you'll find out that everybody was what he was, and it was right for them to be that way. Because that was the order of things in Hinduism. In Est, everything is the way it's going to be. That's the order. That's the way it's going to work out. Now, if you go further than that, I think you get a real shock. Because the Bible tells us, categorically, that God has ordained specific things to take place. How can you read Romans 8, chapter 28, without knowing that? It says, God works all things together for good to them that love Him. To them who are called according to what? God's purpose. God's purpose. Francis Schaeffer once said, freedom without form is not real freedom. It's meaningless. That's true. What Est is talking about is total freedom for you. But freedom without discipline is anarchy. And that's exactly what you're heading into. Moral and spiritual anarchy. There's no authority above you. If you wish to be immoral by the Bible standards, how can the Bible judge you? You are above that level. You have become, in effect, your own God. That's exactly what Est is talking about on its doctrine of God. Erhard says, quote, I believe that the belief in God is the greatest barrier to God in the universe. The single greatest barrier. I would prefer someone who is ignorant to someone who believes in God. Because the belief in God is a total barrier, almost a total barrier to the experience of God. Close quote. But the Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. Erhard claims absolute authority. I quote him. I am here to explain what can't be explained. Life has no rules. How fascinating. Imagine if we took that literally. Erhard is explaining everything to us. And life has no rules. Only the rules that Erhard imposes. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not worship other gods. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. That sounds like a fairly comprehensive set of rules. And yet, Erhard, who has nothing to do with the creation of the universe, is telling mankind there aren't any. Except, of course, the ones that you make yourself. There's a fascinating book called 4 Days to Make Your Life Work. 4 days. Isn't that marvelous? 4 days. And your life is going to work. How is it going to work? Quote, in the EST training, you are God. I just want to repeat that. In the EST training, you are God. Therefore, you cannot look to any supreme being, special treatment, goodness, or award. When you pray, pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to the time of testing. Deliver us from the wicked one. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory into all eternity. Jesus Christ. Est. You cannot look to any supreme being, special treatment, goodness, or award. Ah, how strange. To contradict the Lord Jesus and then to announce that this is a superior revelation and manage it all in 4 days. How fascinating. Everybody wants instant solutions. Do you ever notice that in our culture today? Instant solutions. The authority of EST is yourself. What you're doing is what God wants you to do. That's a direct quote. What you're doing is what God wants you to do. If you keep saying it the way it really is, eventually your word is law in the universe. Isn't that marvelous? Can you see Adolf Hitler sitting over there working on the solution to the elimination of the Erhards and all other Jews and saying, God is on my side. He wrote that. God is on my side. I am doing what God wants me to do. And he pursues it with vigor. He is his own God. And his particular awareness, his particular agreement on reality is that you should destroy the Jews. How would you refute him from the position of Est? You couldn't. Because according to them, what you're doing is what God wants you to do. I suggest that Erhard go and look at the ovens of Dachau, Auschwitz, Belsen, Buchenwald, Ravensbrück. I would suggest that he take a good look at the massacre of Christians in Russia, 10 million of them under Stalin, of 3.5 million kulaks because they wouldn't communize for the Russian government under communism. Look at the graves that have been dug up of uncounted people murdered during World War II and the concentration camps which now exist within the Arctic Circle, Vorkuta being one of them, where more than 7 million people in the Soviet Union are destined to freeze to death and die. Under conditions beyond comprehension, according to John Noble, who escaped from one after being in one for a number of years. They think they're doing what God wants them to do because they are their own God. How are you going to interfere with people like that? You can, if you belong to EST, all you can do is talk about you being your own God. If belief in God is the greatest barrier to God in the universe, pretty obviously, the Bible is wrong, and we have to accept Werner Erhard. Now, I'd like to go on in greater depth dealing with this subject. Time, however, our mortal foe, is forever around us. I would like to make a couple of references, however, to what the Scripture says in this area so we'll understand it. Erhard says, as you can see, this universe is perfect. I'm quoting him. Don't lie about it. Your God in your universe, you caused it. You pretend not to cause it so you could play in it. Close quote. In EST, everything is a game. You accept responsibility for your sins or for your transgressions or for your failures, and because you accept that responsibility, automatically they no longer have any bearing on you. And Erhard gives the perfect illustration of this. He makes the statement, and I think it's better for us simply to take him at his own word. Quote, another thing, you do not have to accept any of the responsibility for any of the evil in the organization, nor do you have to make anyone else responsible. Everybody is absolved of having to be responsible for any of the evil. I have already taken 100% of the responsibility, so no one else needs to take any. I have already acknowledged being 100% causer and creator of every speck of evil in this organization. As a matter of fact, in institutionality and organization, I am telling you that I'm 100% responsible. That's not manipulation. That's my experience. I'm willing to have created all the evil in the Est organization. He did. And I am willing to and experience that I have. Fascinating. Read Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Also verses 23 and 24. Where Isaiah had to deal with the Erhards of his day. When he quoted the fact that people were saying that good is evil and evil is good. Really doesn't make any difference. Just go ahead, do your thing. Isaiah had exactly the same problem. We have the problem if we're going to deal with the people involved in the EST movement. Remember the motion picture? Love story. Love is never having to say you're sorry. I'm sure that burns deeply into the spiritual core of your being. But Earhart says, life is always perfect, just the way it is. When you realize that, then no matter how strongly it may appear to be otherwise, you know that whatever is happening right now will turn out all right. Knowing this, you are in a position to begin mastering life. How do you begin mastering life? Whatever is going on is right. Can you imagine living through the Holocaust of Hitler, through the horror of Stalin, through the butchery of Vietnam, and telling yourself the whole time, whatever is going on is right? That isn't the way you come to grips with problems. You don't come to grips with God by saying you're part of Him. God said He created you. You're not part of Him. You're a creature. Before me, God says, no God was formed, neither shall there be after me. That ought to be clear enough for all of us. He says, I am God, not a man. Would we not learn from this? Would we not learn that human experience is devastating and that it really does not produce any enduring spiritual reality? It is only that which is grounded in Christ that can give us peace with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, says the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, we have been what? Justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Earhart says we're already perfect. The Bible says we are to look forward to that moment when we shall be like Him, like the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2. That is perfection. You are not going to get it now in a training seminar. I would suggest that you consider that God declares Himself to be an infinite person, above and beyond creation, and that He is the Savior of all those that believe. Werner Erhard says, quote, self is all there is. I mean, that's it. Close quote. No, it isn't. Exodus 3:14 says, I am that I am. God enunciates deity as opposed to human self, to angelic self. And the Christian can learn from this and be prepared to witness. On the doctrine of sin, EST is very clear. Earhart says, quote, I don't mind being called a con man as long as when you're calling me a con man, you recognize you're also a con man. Close quote. No, I think he's a con man, and I'm not, because I'm preaching salvation free and he's charging $300 for it. I think somehow or other there has to be a recognition of the fact that the Lord says freely you have received, freely you can give. I wish we had the opportunity to go into all of these things. But I would like to draw this to a close by pointing out what the Bible has to say on this all-important subject. To do that, just listen for a moment to what the Lord has told us as Christians. The Bible tells us that the Christian has a responsibility to a personal God. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came in human flesh as the God-man. He came to teach us. To bring us to God, He came to save us by the sacrifice of Himself. Christ in us, the hope of glory, is also our life. Christ, our life, will appear. We are looking for that blessed hope. Earhart says there's no future. God says the future is His. The dawn of world redemption has come, and we will see that blessed hope. The appearing of the glory of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Werner Erhard is himself a God in the eyes of many of his people. But he will be the God that failed. Because the God of the Bible is personal. I am that I am. The God of the Bible died on the cross in Jesus Christ to save us for our sin, from our sins. The just for the unjust, to reconcile us to God. Est is self-centered. Its whole system is self-salvation. It's a mechanical striving for personal power. It's an escape from reality. It does not have moral considerations based upon the Scripture. It does not understand divine love. It is a purely subjective system, and what we would call in philosophy syncretistic. It brings together everything with an attempt to try and make it all mesh. You're not going to do it, because the God of the Bible will not sit down in an ecumenical strainer with Brahm, Vishnu, and Siva. The God of the Bible will not countenance other gods. The Scripture says He is the God of gods, and that there is no reality in deity apart from Him. An idol is nothing in itself. The demons are behind the idols. And I make bold to say that the demons are behind EST's philosophy and its psychology. They are certainly behind its religion, because it teaches a system totally opposed to biblical theology. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan is an angel of light. And if you're going to be alive in Christ, you'll have to be alive apart from Satan. That's why the Scripture says, I am determined as a Christian to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. My message and my preaching are not in persuasive words and wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Werner Erhard says, quote, you and I possess within ourselves at every moment of our lives, under all circumstances, the power to transform the quality of our lives. Jesus Christ says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Erhard doesn't give you new birth. He does not give you transformation of the soul. He gives you an outside illusion, the Maya of the Hindu religion. The true reality is to be found in Christ, not in His system of pseudo-scientific and religious content. You and I as Christians have a responsibility to the people who are going into Est. We have the responsibility of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. If anyone be in Christ, not Erhard, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. All things are of God. The Christian has a responsibility to tell people, you're not going to get rid of your guilt as a butterfly sheds a cocoon. You are going to get rid of guilt when you come to God's method for making men holy. And that is to be reborn spiritually and to be recreated in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mr. Erhard has every right to teach these things. EST has every right to exist. But the Christian church has every right to say, this is not of God. The doctrine is not of God. It is branded in Scripture as of the devil. Whatever attempts to remake you without acknowledging God's method in Jesus Christ does not come from God. Whatever tells you you are part of God does not come from God. It comes from Hindu philosophy. Whatever tells you there is no cosmic judgment is not from God, because the Scripture says God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness, Acts chapter 17. And He will do this by the man whom He has ordained and given assurance to all mankind by raising him from among the dead. You and I have the blessed opportunity and privilege of loving the people who are drawn into this thing and abhorring the teaching which turns people from the light of the gospel into the darkness of Werner Erhard's Est. The victory of the Christian has already been ascertained. God has given us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God give us the grace to see it, and then God give us the courage. God give us the courage through the Lord Jesus Christ to perform it and to care about those who have been misled by this gross spiritual darkness. Father, bless thy word, that it may be burned into our souls so that we will see clearly what is thy will. We may go out to care for the souls of men who desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, for Christ's sake, give us that compassion and this victory, and bring to nothing this great new idol. In Jesus' name, amen.